Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Psalm of the Resurrected Savior. Over 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and took on human flesh, David proclaimed his resurrection in this passage of Scripture. 1,000 years or more before he was born, David is speaking of his death, but more importantly, speaking of the one who would resurrect from the dead, one that would rise from the dead. His resurrection in this passage of Scripture is proclaimed, and that proclamation refers to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how can you know that? All right, turn over to the book of Acts. Chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Quite frankly, quite clearly, quite simply, God's word declares that the prophecy of David in Psalm 16 was about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And quite honestly, we need no better proof We need no better commentary on God's Word than God's Word itself. I mean, that's the best commentary you can have on Scripture, is other Scripture. God's Word says that David prophesied of one that God would not leave in hell, a holy one. And then God's Word declares right here, that holy one was Jesus Christ. Why is the resurrection so important that God would give prophecy long before Jesus actually arose from the grave? I think the reason, or one of the reasons, is this prophecy further proves the fact that Jesus Christ did rise, and this resurrection proves that his sacrifice was fully accepted by God. His resurrection gives us an assured promise prophesied 1,000 years before, carried out when Christ arose, that Christ is alive today. Right now, he is alive. This assures us and promises us that he is alive, that he is real, and that God's word is true. I don't know about you, but I rejoice today in the resurrected Savior. I rejoice in him this morning. As a matter of fact, we are met here today on the first day of the week to commemorate that great resurrection morning when he arose. I don't tell you why. We don't need an Easter bunny or an Easter egg to tell us that Christ arose. Has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Every Sunday morning when you come in the doors to this church and you assemble with the saints, you're here to commemorate his resurrection and to worship him and to praise him and to thank him for the eternal life that his resurrection proclaims and has been given to you who trust him as Savior. Folks, we're here today celebrating the greatest victory that has ever been won. Death, hell, and the grave hold no power over us here this morning because we are alive in Jesus Christ. If you're trusting him as your Savior, we serve a risen Savior. We celebrate his sinless life. Our Savior was perfectly sinless in his birth through a virgin, his life as a child on up till he reached manhood. His entire life from beginning to end was a sinless life. We understand that. As a matter of fact, we should never compromise one whit on that. He was virgin born and he was a sinless man, the perfect man, and he never once sinned. And to say otherwise is to blaspheme his holy name. We understand his sacrificial death there at Calvary. Oh, I sometimes think about that death. We've heard it proclaimed, haven't we, in this conference about Psalm 22, how our Savior suffered, bled, and died there at Calvary. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We understand his sacrificial death. We understand that he physically, literally died. He dismissed his spirit and he went down into the grave. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the grave didn't hold him. Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. 3 days and three nights later, on the dawning of the first day of the week, they went to the tomb, but Jesus had already arisen from that grave. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thou Holy One to see corruption. Look over in Hebrews chapter 2 with me. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Folks, it's clear that Jesus Christ died, but it's abundantly clear that Jesus Christ arose victorious over death. And I want you to know something, child of God, this morning. If you don't get anything else from this message, I want you to know we have a sure hope. Amen. We have a sure future. The grave could not hold him, and because of him, the grave will not hold you and I when the time comes for us to lay down these old bodies. That'll be shouting ground this morning. Sometimes, and don't take me wrong, I think us Baptists are a little bit afraid of the charismatics. Do you know why I think we're afraid of the charismatics? When we start talking about a Savior, when we start talking about a risen Savior, I think the Baptists, I'll be shouting, Amen. I think Baptists, I'll be shouting, Hallelujah. I think Baptists, I'll be shouting, Praise the Lord. But we kind of hold back, don't we? Well, we don't want to be known as the charismatic folks. If anybody can say amen and praise the Lord, it's Baptists. We believe in a risen Savior who's alive and gives us victory today. We have to go to the graveyards, don't we? Quite honestly, I've been there more times than I care to in the last few years. Going home, brother. We've seen some good people that we've loved go home. But when I go to that graveyard for a child of God, it's not a final goodbye. Amen. It's, I'll see you again. My brother, my sister, I will see you again. Why? Because I know that as they trusted Jesus as their Savior, as I trust Jesus as my Savior, that grave will not hold them any longer. There's coming a day. Now, I believe once you die, your spirit goes to be with the Lord. And your body's laid in the ground. There's coming a day, folks, when that ground's going to have to open up, and that dear brother or sister or child or mother is going to rise, and they're going to go in the air, and they're going to be changed, and they're going to be with Jesus, spiritually and in a perfected body. And I don't know about you all, but the older I get, the more I want that change. Brother Doug and I were laughing. He was walking back to the pew where I was sitting. And I said, "Doug, you never used to walk the way you're walking now." He kind of bow-legged and kind of hobbling along. I'm sure glad I don't do that. No, his buddy from high school was here. He said, "Well, I can remember when Doug Newell was like a gazelle." Can you imagine Doug Newell being a gazelle? These old bodies wear out. They get tired. I told someone the other day, my warranty's just about to expire, I think. And if the Lord doesn't come, I know all of us are going to make that trip to the graveyard. But just assuredly as I know that we're going to make that trip, one day, we're going to arise. I believe what Job said, with these eyes, I will see the Lord. We will. Folks, He is alive today. God's Word tells us that He's alive. And God's Word tells us that He will come again. He will lead many sons to glory, or many children to glory. He will rule and reign on this earth. He will make us like Himself. And we will spend eternity with Him. Forever and forever. Over in 1 Corinthians, you know the passage, chapter 15, verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be defeated is death." Then drop over to verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. Folks, God wants his children to know and to understand that Jesus Christ is alive today, and because he lives, so do we. Amen. So will we. I wrote down here in my notes, I could stop right here. And we could leave this place and rejoice together. But whenever a Baptist preacher tells you he could stop right here, that usually means he's not going to. The focus of this conference has been the Psalms. What a blessing they are to our soul. They tell us about God. They tell us about our Savior. This Word of God that we have has been speaking to us all weekend long. This tells us that God's Word is true, that God's Word is timely, that God's Word is real, that God's Word can be trusted and relied upon. Time and time again, God tells us about a Savior that would come. In the Old Testament, there's pictures of Jesus Christ from Genesis all the way through, speaking of one that would come, a Savior that would save his people, a Savior that would come as a kinsman redeemer, a Savior that would come to lost mankind, a Savior that would live a sinless life, would die a cruel sacrificial death, a Savior that would go down into the grave, go into hell itself. I believe he did a work those 3 days and three nights he was in the grave. I believe he went and preached a message to the saints that were in the paradise section. I believe he led captivity captive. He led them out. He rose the third day. And yes, I am preaching the gospel to you here this morning. I'm preaching the gospel from the Old Testament. I cannot preach the gospel of a glorious Savior who has risen from the grave and is alive even today. His resurrection gave his followers the boldness to proclaim him. Do you know what happened when they crucified Jesus and they put him in the tomb? His followers were disheartened. They were heartbroken. They were discouraged. They were sorrowful. I think when old Peter said, "I go a fishing," I think what he was saying, I might as well go back to my old life. I might as well go back and go fishing. His resurrection gave his broken-hearted, discouraged, sorrowful followers the boldness to proclaim him. They were so sorrowful. They were in hiding. And then they saw the empty tomb. And then they heard the testimony of the women that went to the grave. And even better, then they saw Jesus Christ himself. Remember old Thomas? He wasn't there. I'm not going to criticize Thomas, because you study Thomas out, he was bold in the scriptures. But he told Thomas when he appeared, he said, "Here, touch my hands. Here, thrust your hand in my side." What was he telling Thomas? He said, "I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. I am real. I am alive. I believe the Savior in glory bears those same marks even today. And he was telling Thomas, touch me! Touch me! I'm alive! Thomas fell and said, my Lord and my God. And old Peter, the one that denied him, the one that was discouraged, the one that said, I go a-fishing. You know what he did? He stood before thousands. You know what he did? I read part of it to you in Acts 2. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn back there again. I'm going to read a little part of it again. Acts chapter 2 again. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Folks, that scared follower boldly proclaimed Jesus Christ to some of the crowd that had been there and crucified him. And he said, you with wicked hands have killed him, but he is alive, and you need to repent. The resurrection caused him to proclaim the gospel with authority and power. Our Savior is like none other Savior. There is none other Savior. He is alive, and we must proclaim Jesus Christ. How can we not proclaim Jesus Christ? Brother John said he wants to preach until he can't preach anymore. Why? It's because we serve a risen Savior. Amen. We serve Jesus Christ, the Lord. It's the only name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. In other words, it's Christ or you're lost. Amen. Just that simple. Why do we preach Jesus Christ a lot? Acts 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now listen, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Folks, I think when we preach the gospel, we must always include the message of the risen Savior. The resurrection is essential to our salvation. Without the resurrection, the scriptures tell us that we really have no hope. Praise God this morning that he arose and that we have a sure hope and a sure future. We have a definite outcome. And we're not just wishful thinking. We know. How do we know? Because he is alive. And he's promised to come for us. We need to praise the Lord for his glorious resurrection. And we need to proclaim Jesus Christ each and every time we come into the doors. He's alive. He's the risen Savior. And we serve him, and we are in him, and one day we will be with him because he is alive.